আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আল আতমানি আল আকমালানি আলা খায়রি খালকিল্লাহি আজমাইন ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া মান সারা আলা সাবিলিহি ওয়া নাহজিহি ওয়া মান ইসতানা বিসুন্নতিহি ওয়া মান ইহতাদা বিহাদিহি ইলা ইয়াউমিদ্দিন আম্মা বা'দ। وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's given us yet again a beautiful day, the day of Jumu'ah, the day, such a beloved day, the Sayyidul Ayyam, the best of days in the days of the weeks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to see this day. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq of seeing many, many more Jumu'ahs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq of appreciating the day of Jumu'ah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it such that the last day of our lives in this world is the day of Jumu'ah. As it is the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, we often hear the talks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we hear about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is the zat, one is the physical being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one is the practice, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Both are very, very beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And simultaneously, it is unfortunate that in this very month, wherein the greatness is spoken, actually the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such that it should be spoken about the whole year, it should be appreciated the whole year. But the very unfortunate part is in this very month, when it is generally spoken about and reflected upon more than the other months, in that same moment, in that same month, we find that the attack on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking place. And not only on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but here there is an attack on the physical being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, how do we react? How do we respond? What do we do as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Pak mentions in one ayat of the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخْرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَزْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention that He has subjugated everything in the heavens and the earth for this insan. That for the benefit of this Hazrat insan, for this person, Allah Pak has subjugated everything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that وَأَزْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Allah Pak has completed His favors upon us. That we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Pak has made everything available to us, and Allah Pak has completed His favors externally and internally by Him sending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the guide, as the teacher, as the role model, as the example for the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed His favor upon us externally and internally. Just to understand the Mubarak being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much barakat it has. From the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned her personal incident. That in those days, they would come from the countryside. They would come to Makkatul Mukarramah, into the city, and they would take the children from there at a cost. In other words, they would charge them and would take them now to the countryside, breastfeed them, grow them up, until they reach a age where they could now carry themselves and a little bit healthy, etc. For various reasons. One reason, for the fresh air that is found in the countryside. The other is the fresh healthy food that you get in the countryside. The third reason is that the language also that's spoken in the countryside is not the language that is mixed, that you generally get the colloquial language spoken in the city. So the language of the countryside also is the proper pure Arabic. So this was the reasons why they would send their children, the babies, and go for a few years into the countryside. It was a practice. So she said she had come with other breastfeeding women to Makkah al-Mukarramah to try and fetch a child that they could take back. And they would charge a service fee for this, and they could also make some money. At the same time, the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they know that they're giving their children in some reputable, some reliable hands for this work to be done. When she said she had come, that all the other breastfeeding women, firstly on the way coming to Makkah al-Mukarramah, on the journey, that she and her husband, they had a camel and they had a donkey. The donkey was the slowest moving donkey. No energy it had in it, no strength it had. Slowest moving donkey. That camel also didn't give one drop of milk. So little milk that was coming from this camel. Slow, the donkey was so slow. So she said, anyway, we had come, that we were far behind everyone else, but we had come and we reached Makkah al-Mukarramah. By then all the other women had taken children. They had taken children, and generally they would look to see who could afford to pay for their child. Like how you would get school fees, like how you would get medical expenses, like that, they need to see who's going to pay for this child. So they would look to see from the wealthy family we can take a child. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have a father. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. He was a yatim. In fact, Mawlana Idris Khandelvi rahmatullahi so beautifully mentioned. He said when everyone had seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they thought he was a yatim. But they didn't realize he was a durre yatim. Durre yatim means he was a rare pearl. They didn't realize that he was not just a yatim, he was a rare pearl. So anyway, no child she had to go back with. Everyone else had taken. So she said, okay, never mind, let me just take it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll take this child and I'll go. I'll take this yatim and I'll go. So husband was also happy. And then immediately she said, when I took this child, that milk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had filled my bosom up with milk. I had so much of milk now to feed this child. Before that, she had hardly any milk herself also. And now my animal also, my conveyance became the fastest conveyance. I overtook everyone else. They were surprised at how much of energy had come into this animal. Suddenly we realized that there was barakat in this child. So even in the physical being of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it brought among so much of barakat. She said when we went home and when we reached our place, then we had found that the other animals that were grazing, they were not getting so fat. But my animals, my sheep, etc., they were grazing and they were getting very fat. Now the other people around were saying that try and find which spot Halima Saadia radiallahu ta'ala anha is grazing her animals, so we can send our animals also to that spot. We want our animals also to grow fat. We want our animals also to gain some weight. So when this had happened, so they had found that they were sending the animals to the same spot, but they were not seeing the same result. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put barakat even in the animals also that were associated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this we see in the dhat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we imagine how much of barakat is in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So anyway, moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come as a perfect example. He had come and demonstrated to us the external aspects of deen, and he had come to enumerate and explain to us the internal aspects of deen. Sometimes what happens is we as Muslims, we generally take one aspect of deen. I'll just give you an example. Deen has got five big branches. One is imaniyat, the next is ibadat, the next is akhlaqiyat, the next is muamalat, and the fifth is muasharat. So sometimes we just restrict it. I'll just explain the few. Imaniyat, meaning correcting our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next is ibadat, our ibadat, the actions of the act of worship that we do. Sometimes we just restrict it to one aspect and we think we have got the complete deen. But actually complete deen is it revolves around all these five branches. So anyway, where sometimes we may get salat in under ibadat, we'll find that there's salat, there's zakat, there's hajj, and there's fasting. So sometimes a person just gets salat in his life and he thinks I got the whole of deen. He's only got one quarter of ibadat. Forget the other four branches of deen. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to teach us. He came to teach us complete deen. And he was such a teacher, such a beloved teacher, that whoever saw him fell in love with him. Hazrat Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu anhu, this riwayat is mentioned in Abu Dawud Sharif. He says that I had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First he said, I had seen a man. He didn't know who he was. But when I looked at this man, I saw that people were coming to him and whatever he was saying, they were taking. Whatever he was saying, they were taking, they were grabbing it and taking it, as though this man had such beautiful advices. So I asked somebody that, I went up to him and I asked him that, first he asked who was this person, and he was told that he's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then he goes up to him and he says, alayka salam. He He goes and tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayka salam. Immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrects him. What a beautiful teacher he was. That he would correct him and they would be happy to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected me. They never felt shy about it. They were happy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had corrected me. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, la taqul alayka salam, fa inna alayka salam tahiyyatul mayyit. They don't say alayka salam, say assalamu alayk. This is how you make salam. So anyway, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now to give him some advice. Give me some advice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now gives him advice. And then before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him advice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to him imaniyat, the importance of getting beliefs right. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that I am the Rasul of Allah. I am the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if any harm comes to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you make dua to Allah, He is the one that will remove it. If any drought comes and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak will remove that drought. Whatever difficulty reaches you, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that will remove it. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now gives him advice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, لا تسبن أحدا. That don't swear anybody. Now look at the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It caught the hearts of people. Therefore when we see the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permeating in the heart, this is nothing strange. He was such a being, such a zat, that from the beginning till the end, he won everyone. That he smiled with sahaba, he cried with sahaba. When they were hungry, he was hungry. When they were happy, he was happy. He was the perfect guide that loved and moved and did everything with his companions. And he had love for every one of us right up till the day of Qiyamah. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now is telling him, they don't swear anybody. He says, this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched me so much that فَمَا سَبَبْتُ بَعْدَهُ أَحَدًا. He said, after that, I didn't swear anybody. I didn't swear فَمَا سَبَبْتُ حُرًّا وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَاتًا. That I didn't swear a slave also. I didn't use abusive. The swear means don't use abusive language. Sometimes we know how easy it is to use abusive language against our staff, against the people working for us. But he said, I didn't use any abusive language against any slave also, any free person also. I didn't even abuse any camel also. I didn't abuse any sheep also. I took that advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to heart. This was sahaba. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't regard any good action as trivial. Every good action is important. Don't regard, even if it means you smiling at your brother, talking to your brother with a smiling face, don't regard that even as trivial. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further on went and gave him more advices. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before we go there, something for us to take to our heart. Something for us is when the advices and the talks are given, then we should see how much are we benefiting. Just on the lighter side, you know, in some masjids, in other parts of the country you'll find, or in other parts of the world also, that when the Jummah Bayan is going on, then you'll see one person walking around with a chadar, walking around a chadar, or walking around with a big topi, and people are putting money inside. They're contributing towards the masjid, whatever expenses they are. So there was a situation like this, that one person was walking around with a big topi, and people all were putting money inside. So as he's walking, he went past one mota, you know, and that mota now, he pulled out his wallet, and very hard, with great difficulty, he pulled out 10 rand and he put it in the topi. And suddenly from behind him, another man woke up and put 200 rand into that hat. So when this mota saw that, he said, MashaAllah, kya khub, 200 rand, Allah Pak gives you so much of barakat, what a good thing you are doing, you're putting so much of money in that hat. So then this person from behind tells him that when you were pulling out your wallet, then 200 rand came out of your pocket. I'm putting that money. He said, are my money? Suddenly. So this is our condition, that when it has to be us that has to bring the amal, then we are very reluctant, but we think that others should do it. This is the style of a Muslim. This is a style of a believer, that he brings and he does everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't leave it for the next person. He thinks that this is for me. After all, he has this realization that I am going to a place, I am going to meet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I should meet him in that condition where he is pleased with me and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, under this ayat, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلُوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدًا. He gives one important story, one important incident that happened. This ayat means that wherever you may be, death will find you, even though you may be in fortified buildings. You may fortify yourself. When your time is to go, you're going to go. At that time, then it is to be seen that how much of the deen of Allah we have brought into our lives, and how much of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we have brought into our lives. So anyway, he explains that there was one woman that had given birth. And when she had given birth to a girl, a baby, she had sent her servant out to bring some fire and bring to the homes. Those days they didn't have heaters, they didn't have stoves, they would bring some firewood, bring some fire and come. So when the servant had went out, suddenly one person had appeared in front of him. And when this person had appeared in front of him, he asked that what baby was born. So he says that, or the servant mentions that it was a baby girl. So then he tells this servant that this girl that is born will commit zina 100 times, and her ending, she will die as a result of a mosquito bite, of a scorpion bite. Sorry, not a scorpion, a spider's bite. With a spider's bite, she will die. So then what he does, he thinks that this is such a bad girl that is born, 100 times she will commit zina. In that rage of fury, he goes in and he slits the baby's abdomen. Thinking that this baby is going to die, immediately he escapes and he runs away from there. When he runs away from there, he escapes and he goes. And then he goes and he builds up an empire in that other town that he has gone to, far away. He builds up an empire for himself. He decides, now it's time for me to get married. Let me come back to my town. When he comes back to his town, then he sees that now I want to get married. Let me find out who is the most beautiful woman. I've got so much of wealth that I've built up. So he's told that there is one certain girl that is the most beautiful girl of this town. So anyway, he marries this girl. When he marries the girl, it was the first meeting with her. So now he's explaining his history. He's telling this woman that, you know, many, many years ago, this is what had happened. There was a child that was born and I slit the abdomen. So this woman tells her that that same child is me. After a few days, after a very short while, my mother had stitched me up and I had lived. And I had lived, and today is the day. So now he gets surprised. He said, okay, I'll tell you one more thing that you don't know about, that you will die as a result of a spider's bite. So he had built up a very palatial home, so high, so clean, so smart, that not one spider's web could be found in that house. So after many years, after a long period of time, one day they were relaxing and speaking, and she had seen a spider on the ceiling. When she had seen the spider on the ceiling, just to chide him, she said, this is this thing that you're making me frightened for. For so long you're making me frightened for this, I'll show you that this thing can't kill me. So she hits the thing down, the spider, and then she trims that spider. When she trims that spider, that venom gets into her foot. And then because of, as a result of that, she dies. Now under this ayat, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. It doesn't matter where you are, death is going to find you. There's no way you're going to escape death. There's no way we're going to find escape death. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. We'll continue with that incident of Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala in the next opportunity. But just to finish off here, there's no way that we can escape death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a brilliant deen. Allah has given us the best Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is to become upset that people are despising the dhat and the being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But let us ask ourselves, how much of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are we despising? How much of every sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, how much of it have we got in our life? Do we take it as something important, or we just look at it as something trivial? Let us try and bring every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Let us increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us make it a thing that we will read in our homes, the Siratul Mustafa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our homes, so that this life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can come alive once more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.